rather fitting entrance for Mr. Mark Swartzentruber. Something youthful and energetic for you.
Yes, wasn't that energetic? Yeah,
yeah, it's fantastic to hear them play. Tell us what you've got for us.
Well, Felix Weingartner conducting Brahms' First Symphony. Weingartner was born in 1863 and was actually a piano student of Franz Liszt, which is quite interesting. He was a real Liszt-ian and Wagnerian, and went on. I mean, he was Columbia Records' number one Beethoven Brahms expert in the 1920s and 30s, just slightly in the shadow of Toscanini.
So we're talking about one of those musicians who sort of bridges the gap from those late romantic figures like Liszt into the beginnings of the recording industry and music in the 20th century.
Yes, he was the first conductor to make commercial recordings of all nine Beethoven symphonies. And he was quite a... he leaned more towards Toscanini style in his musicianship than Furtwängler, who was much more romantic and used a lot of rubato and a lot of extremes.
So how would you... Where would you pitch his conducting style then? If Furtwängler is what, very sort of, what, dreamy for you? And Toscanini is much more macho.
Well, Furtwängler is more personal, I think. He relied on a lot of personal inspiration and maybe even capriciousness sometimes in deciding exactly how to do an interpretation. Weingartner was much more regimented, was much more organized in his... In the way he looked at music, and he really expected the musicians to play exactly what was written on the page. An interesting little comment from a critic called his beat, his baton technique, curiously stinging. And, you know, he prided himself on being able to conduct using wrist movements only.
So obviously incredibly sensitive about detail and fidelity to the composer's original intentions.
Yes, but he was romantic in a sense, because his the way he brings out inner lines, he has this lovely charm about it. It's not a really hard-edged modern performance that we're going to hear.
Let's just rewind a bit. Where did Weingartner come from in terms of his musical pedigree?
Well, he was he was born in Austria. Which is now part of Croatia. His parents were Austrian, and his family moved to Graz, and he studied in Leipzig. He went to Leipzig to study philosophy and changed, I think, Hanslick, the critic Hanslick, directed him that direction. And, you know, he turned into a musician there in Leipzig.
Wow, so he really, yeah, he kind of knew everybody.
Yes,
and he was
he
also
did.
A composer, wasn't he? I mean, a very rounded musician.
Prolific composer. I mean, he wrote seven symphonies, violin concerto, cello concerto, five string quartets, quintets for strings and for piano, clarinet. I mean, he had five wives and wrote a lot of music for his wives.
This is a man with a busy life.
Yes, yes.
Amazingly, he also had time in 1939 to record with the LSO. We're going to hear the finale of Brahms' First Symphony. What does he bring to this music?
Well, as I say, you're not going to hear a Furtwängler. You're not going to hear a very macho, sort of hairy-chested performance of Brahms here. It's much more lyrical. It's almost economical, but it's got that lovely charm. Another critic called it androgynous. It's quite delicate and quite light, but it's very breezy and it's ravishingly beautiful, I think.
Thank you.
the finale of Brahms' First Symphony, the LSO, conducted by Felix Weingartner, a recording made at Abbey Road Studios in 1939.
Yeah, you can hear that his performance, I mean, that's such a fantastic example of supreme musicianship. It's light and direct. It almost has a weightless feel to it, unlike you would hear from, say, for example, Furtwängler, who would give this depth of sound, you know, the grandeur of it, you know, and really etch very, very long phrases, whereas Weingartner is very content to keep the tempo very steady and let the music speak for itself. He's got this lovely soft touch on it, which leaves it clear, and it's not got the nerviness of a Toscanini recording.
Well, interesting that he fell out with Hans von Bülow because he accused him, Weingartner accused him of putting too much of his own personality in the music, of sort of laying it on with a trowel, that of stretching these phrases to make the conductor look marvellous rather than the music.
This is great music, and it doesn't need, in Weingartner's view, a lot of messing around with it. It's that performance is radiant and very aristocratic, I think.
Well, we've got an email here from Andy Cordy, who writes, "What an amazing musician Weingartner was. Thank you for bringing him to my attention. Looking at Wikipedia, I notice his last concert in London, 1940. He died in Switzerland the following year, suggesting he made a decision not to remain in Nazi Austro-Germany, though this isn't explicit. Yep. Andy says, I'm determined to hear some of the compositions now. Liszt apparently helped produce his first opera. Who ever heard of all that?
Yeah, no, I couldn't find anything about Weingartner's relationship with the Nazis either. I don't know how he got on with them or not.
All we do know, I think, is that he performed at the Vienna State Opera in 1939, where he was looking sort of exhausted, because he obviously had this grueling schedule he put himself through, and as you've said, a rather intricate personal life to boot.
Yeah, prolific recording artist as well. And the piece that I'm interested in hearing, aside from his symphonies and other writings, is the orchestral version of Beethoven's Hammerklavier Sonata that he did.
Such a plethora of kind of obviously musicianly qualities. I'm interested to know then what you think his reputation is, because I suppose in a way he has been rather overshadowed by those big personalities of the recording industry in the
40s, 50s. We have a lot of recordings, and he was a great Berlioz specialist. He recorded the Sinfonietta, Korngold Sinfonietta was dedicated to Weingartner. So we do have a lot, and I think now these are going to come out.
Great to hear that. Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Great choice. Thanks a lot for joining me.